Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, and also PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com, along with the PW Torch and MMA Torch apps, free in the iOS App Store and the Android Google Play Store, and also host of this, the PW Torch Livecast, available at PWTorchLivecast.com, live 6 days a week, and sometimes seven, and on demand. A lot of positive feedback for Jim Valley's Saturday morning wrestling episode of the PW Torch Livecast with a nostalgic bent, talking about yesterday's wrestling through an adult perspective. Really good addition to the mix. If you haven't checked it out yet, the first inaugural episode aired this past Saturday morning. It is available on demand at pwtorchlivecast.com, our glossy, new, slick homepage for this show. If you haven't been there yet, check it out. Not only can you get episodes of the recent livecasts that you missed, but you can get them by show type. So if you want to catch up on a certain day of the week or a certain show, or look up past interviews, we are building up a base of archives on that new homepage that make it easier than ever to access our most recent shows from each day, and also some best of shows that you can only find at pwtorchlivecast.com. They're not available at the on our RSS feed that you may subscribe to on iTunes or through a podcast app on your phone. So there's some best of shows, including an interview I did with AJ Styles, a long-form interview, a really good one from 2 years ago, where he talked about his future, his time in TNA, his prospects of going to WWF, and more. It's definitely worth looking back on that in light of what is going on today. Plus, the last two post-Royal Rumble shows. So if you want to hear what James Caldwell and callers and Greg Parks had to say the last 2 years after the Rumble, you can check those shows out also. They are the archive selection so far at the new PWTorchLivecast.com homepage. It is Tuesday, February 2nd, 2016, and on Tuesdays we bring Jason Powell into the program as co-host to help carry the programs, and we will do the same right now. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, Wade, good to be here.
Good to have you. Raw ratings just in. 2.38 rating for Raw. I would call that, Jason, on the lower end of what my expectations or predictions would have been. How about you?
Yeah, you know, it certainly didn't expect the number they did last week. They had so many things going for them last week, night after the Rumble, Rock, new champion, and all of that. But I think it says something about what Brock Lesnar means right now, and I don't think it's Brock Lesnar's fault. I think it's just the way WWE is using him. They're not putting him in exciting situations. Even this title match situation just isn't really grabbing people's attention. And the more he's exposed, especially heading into WrestleMania when he's on a lot, I just feel like the less he means as far as being a major attraction that people tune in to see.
Yeah, I think one of the stories coming out of last night with the ratings is that I also think the treatment of AJ Styles by Miz may have led to some fans turning off who were excited about AJ being there, because WWE sure sent the message to fans, it's going to be the same thing over again. The nightmare that fans went through with Daniel Bryan, where the gimmick is, let's point out all his flaws and shortcomings through the lens of what Vince McMahon thinks a wrestler should be. When that's the story you're now telling with AJ, instead of this guy's a proven commodity who's proven himself on the world stage, including New Japan, in front of big crowds with world-class matches and a champion in TNA for years, we're just going to bring him in and act like he's a pledge to the fraternity and haze him and have Miz do it for 10, 15 minutes on Raw. Big drop-off between the second hour and third hour. I don't know if it's related or not, but first hour they started off with 3.9 million viewers, and the second hour average was under 3.5 million, and then the third hour was under 3.1 million. People didn't like what they saw as they were watching the show. Granted, some people were switching over to follow the return on the Iowa caucuses, but if your product loyalty as a pro wrestling company is so soft that you're losing viewers to a caucus in the most preliminary stage of an election, you've got problems too. So I don't buy that as an excuse. But Jason, I do think the Brock Lesnar, the lack of pop for Brock Lesnar is alarming, especially considering what WWE's paying him and what that could mean to even the interest in WrestleMania, whatever they have Lesnar doing. And I still don't know that we have any kind of prospect of a compelling Lesnar match at Mania.
No, it's just, I continue to fear for the Mania card. I think they made a major mistake and putting Triple H in the world title match. I think that they should have just gone with Lesnar and Reigns. And people were less than thrilled with that match going into last year. Once the bell rang, it was very good. You had the hook that there was no finish to that match. You had Paul Heyman to sell the match. And now you have Brock doing, most likely, something other than the world title match. I mean, I think we all assume Reigns and Triple H at this point. And, I mean, it looks like Bray Wyatt, just based on what they've been doing, and I know there's certainly been discussion of that. We'll see what they can do with Heyman and Wyatt getting together on the mic, but that doesn't grab my attention. And even just at Fastlane, the triple threat, it just doesn't feel big when waiting at the end of the rainbow is a match with part-timer Triple H for the world title. They've really lost me.
I'm with you. We're going to go to our first break, hear from some sponsors, and come back and start taking your phone calls. Give us a call right now. Get in line on the phone banks. 646-721-9828. We've got about a dozen people on hold already, but we welcome you to get in line right now. Again, that's 646-721-9828. I want to thank everybody for a record month of listenership in January. The month is complete. I want to put this in perspective. Our record month was December of 2015. We came close to doubling that number in January. So while Raw numbers aren't doing particularly well, other than last week's number popping a rating, our growth here at PW Torch Livecast has been spectacular. So we thank all of our longtime listeners for making it possible for us to continue doing this show every day, 5 days a week, now six and sometimes seven after on a pay-per-view week. And we very much welcome all the new listeners to our live weekday lineup. Of course, you can hear our shows live Monday through Saturday and also Sunday nights after pay-per-views, but also on demand. And that's what most of you do because the live broadcast doesn't fit the majority of your schedules. And you can find us in iTunes, on popular podcast apps for your phone, and also, as I mentioned, on our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. It's a really cool homepage. It's also a place where you can leave comments on shows in the comment area after the show pages for individual episodes. All right, let's go to our first break, as I mentioned, and we'll be back taking your phone calls right after this. If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com. There's a lot of cool stuff right now at pwtorch.com, including, and we'll be talking about this, the news on Bret Hart announcing his cancer diagnosis. Jarring news for somebody at Bret Hart's age. It just doesn't feel like that's what we should be talking about when it comes to Bret Hart right now. He put up a heartfelt message to his fans. A lot of people in the wrestling industry responded to that news with words of support and love to Bret Hart, and it was really cool to see the industry come together the way that they did, and I hopefully buoy Bret's efforts to battle prostate cancer. And I wanted, before we got too deep into the show, to certainly send my heartfelt best wishes to Bret Hart, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of the entire Torch staff, Jason Powell, and our callers. Bret, we wish you the best in your upcoming battle. It'll be the toughest one of your life, but I think the support and well wishes from the wrestling industry are going to help fuel that fight. Other headlines at PW Torch MLB.com right now include good perspective James Caldwell's put together on the Raw ratings from last night. Even more details than we get into here on the live cast. It really puts it in perspective what the Raw ratings mean and how they compare and how they fit in. PWTorch.com also includes the Torch Today update, which was brought back recently. It's a daily update with a dozen or so quick rapid-fire items of interest in the wrestling news from all over the place, including interesting quotes, obscure news, media mentions of pro wrestling, and that kind of thing. That's right under the slideshow on the homepage. Plus, details on The Rock's movie schedule. What is his 2016 filming schedule? What will he be in the middle of come WrestleMania season? Also, new Bullet Club leader announced for ROH's Vegas pay-per-view weekend, and a whole lineup on the ROH versus New Japan U.S. pay-per-view coming up next month, and also some exclusive columns like Sean Radican unboxing the Pro Wrestling Crate. The third version of that is up in the Opinions and Features column, as are the False Count Anywhere special edition of a live review of NXT Pittsburgh, the Hits and Misses column, and more. Lots of good stuff, tons of results, tons of exclusive features, and breaking news, including some off-air happenings from Raw last night. What did not air on TV that people who attended Raw saw? That's always a staple of PWTorch.com. Check it out right now. It's mobile phone friendly, tablet friendly, desktop and laptop friendly. It's been totally redesigned as of last weekend with a whole new upgrade from our original overhaul last fall. So check it out if you haven't recently. If you're on a laptop or desktop, it's the all new version. Otherwise, our mobile version is there. Plus, our apps are available free in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store for Android devices, so check that out. We have one other sponsorship message to get to, and that is Loot Crate, a new sponsor the last few weeks with PW Torch Livecast. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items with a retail value guaranteed to be $40 plus. That include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific each month to subscribe and receive that month's crate. When the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Make sure to head over to lootcrate.com and enter coupon code PWTORCH to save $3 on your first order. We got some news on the theme for the upcoming theme this month. We have braved the dangers of Alexandria and bribed some mercs with chimichangas to bring you the finest loot this side of the afterlife. This month's theme is dead and reaches across genres to bring you 5 exclusives, including a t-shirt and 2 figures to celebrate new episodes of The Walking Dead and Deadpool's solo film debut. That's the theme this month. So get on board. It's fun. It's kind of like a gathering with fans of similar parts of pop culture getting together and unboxing items together and commenting on them. Check out the details over at lootcrate.com. That's LOOTCRATE.com. And enter coupon code PWTORCH to save $3 off your first order. All right, back to the program we go, and we're going to start taking your calls. I'm Wade Keller from Pro Wrestling Torch, joined by Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. We'll begin with a phone number beginning with 614. Might be international. If you heard a beep, go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, hi. This is Jim calling from Australia.
Hey, Jim. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. What have you got for us today?
No problem. Yeah, wait, just a question for you. Just before I give you the question, I just wanted to give you a little bit of credit. I was listening to last Thursday's podcast when you were interviewing Ed Ferrara. Fantastic interview. I learned so much
thank you.
From what currently Ed is doing, but just your interviewing skills is fantastic. So I just wanted to put that initially. Just a question, Wade. Just in regards to AJ Styles, everyone's got different tastes. Give me your thoughts and yourself and you as well, Jason. The AJ Styles entrance, the music, the way he comes out, is it me or doesn't it feel as sharp as some other major players going back to when Chris Jericho first came out and, you know, obviously Stone Cold and The Rock's music and entrance? Is it me or does it feel a little bit, I don't know, a peg or two below that big impact? Just your thoughts on that, guys.
It's a good topic, Jim. I've actually been kind of curious to talk to people about it, so I'm glad you brought it up. I have mixed feelings about it. I want to get your thoughts first, Jason. What do you think about AJ's entrance and his entrance music and the video and the whole production?
I think it's unique. I think it stands out in a good way. It does lack that certain big punch that that you get from some of them, but maybe it will grow on you in time and you'll come to recognize it. But I do like it in general. I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings on it. It's got a little bit of Anderson Silva's UFC entrance feel to it in terms of the cadence and the beat. It's got the organ music, kind of the church organ music that feels big. But for the phenomenal, the fierce, it's fun to see Vince McMahon look at AJ Styles really for the first time because, Vince hasn't followed AJ's career. So you're seeing kind of Vince deciding what adjectives to use with AJ, and they're kind of portraying him through the adjectives that everybody's getting fed to use as, yes, he's phenomenal, but he's fierce and he's a pit bull. He's tenacious. I think that's another word, the tenacious AJ Styles. I think that's what Vince would like to call him if he could start from scratch. I'm not sure that AJ's entrance music fits a tenacious, small underdog fighting from underneath to gain respect like Daniel Bryan's character. And so if they're going to portray him the way that they do, I don't know that having... I think the entrance music suggests he's a big star, but I think it's a big star. It's music that requires him being over in that building to get that kind of pop that you want a big star to get, because the music, like you say, Jason, doesn't have that punch. Do you think what happened last night with AJ and Miz TV was a good move or not, Jason?
I really enjoyed the segment. I understand the criticisms of it that is coming from, it's being delivered via Miz, and it's what WWE really thinks of him. I just think it's a misguided attempt to try to cast him as another Daniel Bryan. And you would think that's the last thing WWE would want is another Daniel Bryan, because they fought that so much. But I thought Miz was extremely effective in telling the story that he was basically given to tell, getting himself heat. And we've seen him play the game where he pulls the mic back before. But I saw it when he started doing it. I'm like, oh, it's this segment. But he just delivered it so well. I thought it was one of his best mic performances. I was very impressed by it.
I thought Miz was tremendous. I thought AJ played his part well, reacting to Miz in a believable way. Where I am critical of it, and it's a big, it's override. I mean, I think you're right to give credit to Miz for executing his role really well. But I don't think WWE understands that the fans who want to see AJ Styles pushed as a star don't want to go through the process of hearing all the reasons AJ isn't a star, shouldn't be a star, doesn't deserve to be a star, and that he's just a podunk wrestler who was the runt of his family, who took forever to get to WWE, and probably isn't good enough because he's so small. I think that's the wrong way to approach AJ Styles, having him come out. That's not how Chris Jericho was treated when he arrived. He was a star in WCW, and WWF made him a bigger star, not by talking about all his struggles to earn respect and his size. And I can't imagine Jericho being the star that he is if Vince McMahon spent the first few weeks talking about Jericho being a vanilla midget who wears lifts in his boots in order to try to look like he belongs in the ring with the big boys. Yes, Jericho fans are going to be mad, but they're going to be mad and turn off the TV because they don't think the promotion is, the brand is speaking to them in respects what they respect about wrestlers. And that's where I've swung on this issue. I get the value in having, quote, another Daniel Bryan, because the real Daniel Bryan's out, and they sort of feel like that story didn't get fully told, so maybe AJ can fill it. And I understand the rationale for it. I just really don't want to hear Vince's hang-ups make their way through a really talented guy like Miz as a way to pull AJ down, with the idea being that fans are going to be so mad they're going to push back and go, no, we like AJ even more because Miz was so mean. I'm interested to see the response AJ starts getting at SmackDown tonight at the tapings, and we'll watch that on Thursday and going forward. But I don't think bringing somebody in with the acclaim that AJ has and then just giving him the treatment of you're too small and you're a nobody and there's a reason you weren't here all along is the ideal way to go. In fact, I think it creates an unnecessary headwind, and WWE doesn't really understand the bad kind of heat that creates in terms of engaging the whole reason that they brought AJ in. The whole reason they brought AJ in was to engage fans who already knew who he was and liked him, and then also what it was about him that people liked will expose that to a larger audience. And I just think you put AJ out there and have him just showcase himself and what he does, and God, let him talk. He talked in TNA. He's not that bad of a promo. With some talking points and a good program around him, he can talk. Nobody's hung up on the rural Georgia accent like Vince McMahon is. In fact, it's part of what makes AJ stand out. So I'm very disappointed in what they've done with AJ since the Royal Rumble pop that he got on Sunday.
I would love to see. It's a shame they didn't take a different direction with him. Really, I mean, it was talked about by so many people, and we just kind of rolled our eyes at it, knowing that Vince would never do it. But it is a shame they didn't just go all the way with him at the Rumble.
I know.
Even if you wanted to make him the Authority's new player, because he can play a heel very effectively, and if they're so worried about him talking, if they can't get over that, well, you have Triple H and Stephanie to do it for him. And I think WrestleMania would be a lot more exciting. It would free up Triple H to do something else on the WrestleMania card. But they didn't, and now I think what we're looking for with AJ is probably the ladder match for one of the titles, if they do that again. Or, I mean, it doesn't mean he's not going to be in something interesting at WrestleMania. It's just not as high profile as it should be. It looks like, rather than bringing this guy in and utilizing him as the star, which they desperately need right now, as many as they can get, they're just going to do this slowly, and we'll see if they get there.
I agree with you, Jason. Let's go back to Jim, just see if you have any follow-up. Jim, anything else for us?
Yeah, just one last question, maybe like a different topic. Just in regards to the Raw commentary with JBL, Cole, and Saxton, pretty poor guys to what we've been used to with the King and good old JR. The SmackDown with the new bloke, I'm not too sure, I can't remember his name at the moment, he's brought a little bit more liveliness to the show. But the Raw commentary, the three-man commentary, is just not working. I know it's a separate topic, maybe not a hot topic, but God, it's not good. It doesn't make you want to stay the ride. It doesn't make you feel excited. It doesn't really give you that. What JR and the King did many, many years ago. Just your thoughts on that, guys, and have a great night. And you're doing fantastic, both PW Torch. Fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jim. Really appreciate it. Yeah, Jim had mentioned my interview with Ed Ferrara. That is available, by the way, on the PWTorchLivecast.com website. In the interview section, one part of the new homepage for PW Torch Livecast is a grid of the latest interviews. I think it's two rows of three, so you can look and see the latest six interviews, and you can also go to our menu and just click on the interviews category and select from the latest interviews. If you're sitting around on your computer and just want to play something in the background while you're doing something else, you don't really have to necessarily grab it off the chronological RSS feed off the app. You can actually stream it or download it straight from that homepage. So kind of lets you do a little bit more of an on-demand process than the RSS feed does if you want to stray from that a little bit. Jason, the Mauro Ranallo is who he was talking about on SmackDown, and I like that Jim didn't know his name because it means he didn't come in with a preconceived notion about Mauro, you know, loving him and all that. It was like, hey, I like this new guy who I didn't really know a lot about. What's your assessment of Mauro and also Mauro and Lawler compared to JBL and Cole being the unique announcers on Raw?
Oh, it's the SmackDown crew is so much better. I mean, last week they were the reason to watch the show because WWE was already back in. You'd tune in to see the talk show segment. We haven't booked SmackDown yet as far as the hype for the show is concerned. They're doing a really good job, and I hope that the plan is to let Mauro get acclimated and then eventually move him to Raw, but only if, as we said before, Vince is going to back off. And I just don't know how realistic that is. They may be keeping him away from Vince intentionally on SmackDown. I do think that the time will come when he is going to be calling pay-per-views, and so he's going to get an earful of Vince McMahon, and we'll see how that goes. But, you know, Jim Ross has talked about it too. There's a lot to calling Raw these days aside from just calling the matches. You know, so much has changed since even JR was the main guy. There's so many different live reads and all of this, and I think that's a big reason why you see Byron Saxton on both shows, is to help out with some of that, especially while Mauro is kind of getting situated on SmackDown. I think there would naturally have to be some sort of a transition period where he just gets used to some of that on SmackDown before he's moved to Raw, if that's even the plan. Do you think he's heading there anytime soon?
I don't think he's headed there anytime soon. I mean, unless there's something I don't know about Michael Cole wanting to cut back his schedule or have longer weekends and just... But that's just not the impression I get from Cole at all at this stage. I think he's, you know, enjoys being as engaged as he is. So, no, I think Mauro's there to give SmackDown a different feel, and it's a good hire. But I'll take Mauro on SmackDown if that's the only way we get Mauro. I don't think he needs to move to Raw.
Yeah.
But I do think that I would like to see Mauro get a selection of pay-per-views where Cole gets a break and, you know, say four times a year Mauro calls the show. If Cole... I think Mauro can make Cole a better announcer. I actually thought Cole had a better night than average last night in terms of calling the action in the ring. But, you know, I want to see it part of a larger trend. It's probably too isolated and anecdotal to draw any large conclusion. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's not a cool announce team. You know, I mean, one of the biggest things besides the cool graphics and the music and the wrestlers on the show, the announcers are a big part of the branding of the brand. And I just... You know, with all due respect to JBL, he's not a particularly cool guy. And, you know, really, you could make the argument, same argument for Mauro and Lawler. They're maybe not cool guys, but the thing about them is collectively the way they execute their announcing, it treats wrestling more seriously. And I think that there's real value in when you're watching a show, thinking that the announcers are as engaged as you want to be, and they help you get more engaged. And that's one of the great things that Jim Ross did, is when the microphone was turned on and the matches were going on in the ring, he was totally into it like it was a Super Bowl or overtime in Game 7 of an NHL playoff game. I mean, it just, that energy level was there. And Mauro was able to bring that. Michael Cole, it feels a little bit more manufactured and calculated. It's maybe a little, maybe the difference between a Hillary Clinton speech and a Bernie Sanders speech, you know, where the Bernie Sanders supporters are like, here a guy who seems like he's just speaking off the cuff about things he believes in. And with Hillary, she's been through so much, so much of the political process that she comes across as being very careful in what she says, and everything is kind of calculated because she doesn't want pushback. And you can make an argument one maybe is wiser in terms of getting further in the American political process, but Cole kind of reminds me of that Hillary approach. It's I know what I'm supposed to say, and I'm going to say it, and it's somewhat robotic, and it's practiced, and it's well thought out. And Mauro, it's like he's reacting to the moment, and he's into it, and so he doesn't need to calculate things because he's just in the moment reacting to what he sees and what he loves, which is clearly pro wrestling. All right, let's go to our next caller. And let's see, I think we've got a VIP member, although that's the wrong spot. Let me see if I can find him here. Yep, here we go. This will be Wayne calling in, VIP member Wayne. Thanks for calling and letting us know that you'd be calling in. What have you got for us today, Wayne?
Hey, it's Wayne from Spring Hill, Florida. Guys, thanks so much for taking my call. I had an NXT and developmental question.
Yes.
For you guys. Something I've been thinking about, since NXT is really becoming more of a brand and becoming more of like it's a highlight. It's something that folks are kind of even choosing over the regular WWE shows. And now NXT has these B shows kind of going around that are actually more developmental than the actual main roster of NXT is now. Do you see maybe WWE trying a little bit more, maybe having some more developmental rosters or more developmental, even kind of, you know, you have NXT, maybe they, and that's kind of like a Florida Championship Wrestling style, developmental. Do you see them maybe going to other territories and kind of creating more developmental areas, you know, throughout to kind of have a little bit more experience for new guys?
You know, they did that, Jason, years ago. You know, Rock started in Memphis when it was a WWE affiliate. And then you had OVW as another affiliate. You had Samoa Joe and Cena starting in California. They had affiliates around the country, and they kind of wanted to consolidate for a variety of reasons. I think part of it is they want control. And sometimes they take, you know, they become control freaks as far as wanting control. But I understand wanting to have wrestlers trained under a system that's going to protect them, insulate them from concussion lawsuits, insulate them from sexual harassment lawsuits. There's been issues on those fronts in developmental in the past. And so to me, I kind of think by concentrating things in Florida, but having these different layers, you've got the main roster, you've got the NXT main roster that – is kind of the, with the top stars on the verge of getting to the main roster, and then some people who are, you know, an Austin Aries type who are known in the indie scene. And now you have this next layer, which are the B shows for NXT. Greg Parks attended a NXT B show or developmental show over the weekend. He wrote a full-page column for this coming week's Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. It'll be up on our ad-free VIP website also for Torch readers, giving his perspective. But his match report is up at pwtorch.com in the results section right now. So if you want to get an idea of, you know, well, how does NXT run two shows on one night? Well, we have reports from up on the site from both of those shows right now, the results, and you can kind of see how they divided the stars and put about 80% of the TV guys on the main NXT show in the larger venue, and then had a small handful of people who were familiar from on TV from the NXT TV show on the B show, along with a bunch of developmental wrestlers. And now, then you have Evolve, you know, with Triple H at a recent Evolve show, and Gabe Sapolsky talking about that on Twitter. We've got a story up in the at pwtorch.com in the news section, kind of detailing that whole evening and what Triple H's involvement was and how he acted around the wrestlers and how available he was to the younger guys. So, Jason, it seems like in a different way than having different developmental territory spread around the country, they kind of have these different layers now going from AAA to A to, or AAA to AA to A in terms of a minor league system right now with NXT AAA, NXT developmental AA, and then maybe Evolve being A. What are your thoughts on the current setup and also some changes we might be seeing?
Yeah, I mean, that was something that was talked about for a long time by Triple H, wanting to have that minor league baseball type of operation. And I don't know that you're going to see a performance center pop up elsewhere anytime soon. I mean, this one was very expensive, but if they continue to have, you know, a lot of success with it and they feel like it's financially viable, maybe they do. You know, maybe they want one on the West Coast, too, or somewhere in the Midwest. I could see it happening someday. I just don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I noticed that, you know, with the B shows, Asuka always seems to be left behind in Florida, which is really strange. Now, somebody has to be. I just wonder if part of it, it's obviously you want to have something on those Florida shows while they travel around, but they're also starting to go back to some of the markets, and I wonder if it's intentional to kind of leave a couple of names out so that it's a big deal the next time they come to that town that person is making their debut there as well.
Yes. Do you think that they will affiliate with existing territories more than they are with Evolve? Or do you think we're kind of seeing where their landing place is going to be?
You never know what's going to happen long term. For now, I think this is kind of where, I'm guessing this is just where it's at right now, is Evolve. I don't know who else they would partner with. And yeah, I still wonder how much of that was, that whole relationship getting started was due to the weird Vince McMahon, Kevin Steen action figure thing with Ring of Honor and wanting to. I would hope it wasn't done out of pettiness, but whatever it, however it started, it looks like there's a solid relationship, at least for now. You just never know with them. I mean, Gabe Sapolsky will even openly write that he doesn't know where the heck this thing is going. And because it's WWE, they could wake up tomorrow and decide, forget that Evolve thing.
I do want to remind people that if you're a listener to this show, one way you can show support for us is when you shop Amazon, not going to Amazon directly, but instead taking a brief detour to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Or you can simply click on the Amazon banner right under our slideshow on our homepage at pwtorch.com. However you go to Amazon's homepage, make a trip through pwtorch first, and then everything you buy on that trip, on that shopping trip, we get a commission on. You pay the same price on the same products with the same great selection that Amazon provides, but by simply going to pwtorch.com/Amazon or just clicking on an Amazon banner on our homepage first, Amazon sees that we sent you there and they give us a commission. So it's a great way to send a few quarters our way, or maybe sometimes a few bucks our way, depending on how much you buy. It all adds up, and it's been really great. I hit refresh every time I step into the office every morning to see how many of you participated in that the day before, and it's always cool when we see that some of you have done that. So thanks to those of you who already are and continue to, and we invite everybody else to do so. Just kind of think of it as throwing a few coins in the tip jar at the coffee shop. It's a way of showing appreciation for what we do here at pwtorchlivecast.com, giving back a little help support the whole team and everything that we do here. By the way, tomorrow, Pat McNeil, I believe, has Trevor Murdoch as his guest. Trevor Murdoch, active on the WWE roster 10 years ago, and is always a good guest with Pat. He's a recurring guest on the Wednesday livecast. I'll be by Thursday with a yet-to-be-confirmed interview guest. And then Friday, Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant at 7 Eastern. And then Saturday morning at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, Saturday Morning Wrestling, Nostalgia with Jim Valley, episode number one, available on demand right now. Jason, let's go ahead and have you talk about your website and your membership before we get back to more phone calls.
Yeah, on the site right now, Will Pruitt's pause review from last night. He compares, he says, Dean Ambrose is becoming WWE's Bernie Sanders while Roman Reigns settles for Hillary Clinton.
Hey,
you can get all those. Hey, that's what he says. Don't blame me.
No, I'd use the Hillary-Bernie example. I didn't know Will had. I hadn't read his column yet, so now I feel like I'm plagiarizing him without even knowing it using that example, but I guess it's timely after last night.
Well, how dare you not read his column that went up right at the exact time we started the show.
Exactly, yep. Well, last week I hit on some of the same things he did in his column on The Rock and Lana, too. So, yeah, we've been on similar topics, but slightly different angles. But go ahead, Jason. I shouldn't interrupt your plug. You're on a roll.
Sure, no problem. WWE Raw viewership info that we talked about earlier is available. You can also read about Tammy Sitch challenging China to a sex match. Whatever the hell that is, you can find out the details on the main page at ProWrestling.net right now. On the member side of things, last night's WWE Raw audio review that I recorded shortly after the show concluded, about 40-plus minutes of Raw talk, my Q&A audio show from yesterday, still to come later this week, .NET Weekly, our flagship show. Jake Barnett and I will get together and discuss all the news of the week. Membership rates to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net with just tons of member-exclusive audio content. It starts as low as $5.50 a month if you take our annual option. If you want to try it out for 1 month, see if it's a good fit for you, figure it all out in time for WrestleMania, the price tag is $7.50. All you have to do, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. You will see the subscriber area on the right side of your screen. And once you're in there, you'll find three different pricing options. Pick the one that works best for you. Again, the longer you sign up for, the more money you save. But check it out. Either way, $7.50 is the single month rate. All the details available, again, at the main page of ProWrestling.net. And if you haven't done so already, check out our new daily free audio content at blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDOTNET, or you can find out all the details on the main page. My 20-minute audio update is up from earlier today. I also did one yesterday. Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett will take over for the next couple of days with episodes of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. We are doing daily content throughout the work week, Monday through Friday, available again. All the details at ProWrestling.net. And if you have any questions on any of this, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet.
Excellent. Let's now go back to the phone lines and go to VIP member Matt from North Carolina. VIP member Matt, how you doing? Thanks for calling today. What have you got for us?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I've always been a big AJ Styles fan, but this guy's really impressed me because I don't know how he walked into WWE and so quickly knew what camera to look at.
That's true. Without that NXT experience, that's amazing. He's a prodigy.
Yeah, he's really blown me away with that.
Hey, I got to cut in there because, in fairness, when Triple H has told this story about 700 times, he's relaying a story that he had experienced that he had with Finn Balor, telling him that he appreciated some of those things.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Either way, it's still AJ is a prodigy. That's all. I'm sticking with that, Jason. Even with your clarification.
I just think it's funny how they come up with so many excuses of why, you know, people can't be on TV. So just in general, that was my jab. Yeah, I've been watching a whole lot of WWE, but I've been really into NXT. Who do you guys think is going to take the title? Looks like they're setting up Zayn versus Samoa Joe versus Balor.
Well, are you asking us to get into spoilers from the tapings they did last week?
Oh, I didn't know that that they already had it. So
yeah, we've got 4 weeks of spoilers up. So I kind of know, and now I'm trying to block it out until I watch this show. So it's kind of tough. I'll parlay your question, and if you want to just augment it afterwards, you can. I love the lineup for the NXT TakeOver Special WrestleMania weekend.
Wait, that's not WrestleMania?
No, but it sure looks like it. Bruce Mitchell actually last week in the Torch newsletter wrote a column with some suggestions for WrestleMania, and it's practically the takeover card. NXT is a hot product. WWE, in a way, it's like, Jason, NXT right now is propping up some of the weaknesses of WWE in terms of, like, it's a conflict for fans who don't like certain things about the main product to be a network subscriber mainly to watch NXT, because it sends a message that you like what Vince is doing on the main product if you're one of those people who doesn't. It, you know, like, does Roman Reigns get credit if network subs go up when you're really buying it for, you know, what's going on NXT? But at least WWE sees that internally how many people are watching NXT. So if you are watching NXT, you're sending a signal that way, even as a network subscriber. Jason, I guess in maybe a broader term, because I do want to try to stay away from spoilers, where do you think the NXT title picture is going as this year progresses? I think Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe are likely going to end up on the main roster either before or right after WrestleMania. And at some point, you would think Finn Balor will learn where to look and will be able to be on the main roster without, you know, turning his back to the hard camera. Jason, I got to keep playing that out. So then, you know, but I think with the influx of some other names, they're fine. Even if Balor and Joe and Sammy are all gone, I still think there's enough on that roster right now for some pretty compelling title feuds.
And you may see Balor stick. You know, I mean, they do fancy him as like the face of that brand. They may want him to stay there. That's been the plan. But keep in mind that we are always hearing, well, Samoa Joe is never going to get a crack. He's NXT. That's how they want to use him. And I think that's going to change. I think the attitude has changed there. And so obviously that could change at any time with Finn Balor. But with I just don't know what they have in mind for Balor Club, if that's a direction they're going in. But if that's an NXT thing, if they feel like it would be better off on the main roster, so that could change things right there if they feel like that's something they want to utilize on the main roster sooner rather than later. But I think until the time comes, Balor is either the champion or right there in the title picture. So I guess I'll just leave it at that without spoiling anything.
Do you think New Day are in trouble for drawing attention to a kid in the front row? And that kid and the grown up next to him, I don't know if it was a dad or an uncle or whatever, but you know, they both were wearing Bullet Club T-shirts.
No, and if they are, I mean, Brock should be in more trouble for, you know, getting the Hulk Hogan guy on camera last week. And you know, but they've had them. They shouldn't be, because they've had them all over the website. It's, you know, it's not like WWE is hiding from Bullet Club, and so I just can't imagine they would be. But it's weird WWE politics, so you never know.
No, because I can see that WWE would kind of want to wait in terms of television when they introduce Bullet Club as a concept. It's one thing to play to the other audience. Although I did notice on WWE Shop that Austin Aries has a new T-shirt out. It's got a cool A logo on it, and that's the first thing you see when you go to Shop Zone right now. So at some point, they're going to want to introduce something, some sort of B club that isn't a diva faction, Bullet, Balor, or whatever, and then I think they'll go all out. But until they're ready to market those T-shirts, I don't know if they like them being featured on Raw. It seemed like there was kind of a hesitation. Maybe they're just trying to get a camera in position to get that kid on camera. But I was like, oh, I wonder if this was another semi-off-script moment that they'll get chewed out for a little bit. But anyway, let's go back to the phone lines here. Area code 502 and then on deck 320. 502, please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is James from Louisville.
Hey, James, thanks for calling. What have you got for Jason and me?
I was just wondering, why do you guys think that WWE continues to go with the same, you know, bland formula of promo at the beginning of every Raw and then, like, either a tag match at the end or, like, at least outside interference? I mean, it seems like every single week it's the same thing over and over again.
I just saw Jason last night with the Paul Heyman promo. It was like one of those weeks where I don't think we needed don't know. It just felt like Paul. It wasn't Paul's greatest week. I didn't think on in terms of showing enthusiasm and sinking his teeth into anything. And that's going to happen. But that the beginning of his promo, I thought just droned on. And again, I'm not really blaming Paul for it as much as I just don't think he had a lot of material to work with and was kind of taking his time, making his points, because they've got 3 hours and 10 minutes to fill, and that opening segment has to be long. But Jason, in general, what do you think of what James had to say?
Well, and the funny thing is, last night was one of the shorter ones. It, you know, a lot of times you'll see them go past the first 15 minute mark of the show. This one came in under that. I once they got to Dean Ambrose coming out, it was good. But I even gave Paul Heyman a miss today. And mm-hmm. granted, you know, I prefaced it by saying by his standards, and that's the key. Paul Heyman's an excellent talker, but by his usual, compared to his usual standards, this was disappointing. And I really thought, even when he sat in on commentary later in the show, it was just kind of lifeless. And
oh, I agree.
And maybe some of that is due to he's a babyface now, and there's not only so much you can say on commentary compared to what he was able to do as a heel, really going after those guys and having fun with it. But I know I'm getting sidetracked here, but Wade, I'm just wondering, is he just kind of throwing his hands up and he's just not into what they're giving he and Brock Lesnar to do creatively right now?
Oh, I could see that. I mean, I think it would be hard for Paul to hide that if he felt that they were making some really big mistakes with WrestleMania. And again, I preface my criticism this whole WrestleMania season, and I'll probably say this once a week. I give them a little bit of slack because of all the injuries. You know, Seth Rollins, John Cena, on and on. I mean, it's just so many guys out who they were hoping a few months ago they'd have access to. And so they have to, you know, get some slack for that, but then you want them to do the best with what they have. And I just don't see a WrestleMania lineup that's creating the best with what they have right now. Got a long way to go, and there can be some twists and turns along the way, so we'll see. But yeah, I it's funny, you and I picked up on the same thing with Paul. It just, on commentary, it felt like Hall and Nash started work, you know, just were sort of checked out after Eric Bischoff fired their buddy Sean Waltman, kind of to get back at them, and because he was mad at Sean's agent at the time. And they're like, all right, whatever the letter of the law says on our contract, that's what we'll do, but not anything more. And by the way, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash have both admitted this to me in the long 6-7 hour torch talks that I did with them,
right?
You know, close to 10 years ago now, which is crazy. But they admitted that, you know, that they just clocked out at that point. They were like, we'll do whatever we're contractually required to do, but if you're going to screw with our friend that way, we're not lifting a finger extra. And I'm not accusing Paul of going that far, but that's it almost just seemed disengaged, letter of the law. I'll make a few comments. But yeah, part of it too is just being a babyface and not really having anyone to talk about. I was talking to Bruce Mitchell before the live cast, and he made a point that he thought Paul was pretty clever in his promo of not mentioning Roman Reigns' name in a way that would lead to Roman getting booed. So maybe a little credit to Paul on a subtle thing there. Anyway, I want to get a few more calls in here on today's program, so let's go next to 320 and then on deck 616. 320, please state your name and where you're calling from. 320. 320.
And while we're waiting for 320, just to address the last question, I'll just say that it's their formula. And, you know, I think it's been a proven winner for them over the years in their minds. I do think they would benefit from shaking it up. And nothing's stopping them from starting with a hot match from time to time. But they see the minute by minutes, and if they feel like that's the formula that works, they're going to stick with it. And even if it doesn't, they may just be Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon may be so set in their ways that they're still going to stick with it.
I still am just I don't know what the word is. There's a big market cosmopolitan snobbishness. You know, they won't mention when they're in Birmingham, Alabama. They'll flash it on the screen, but they don't mention the city. But if they're in Chicago, Michael Cole's like, we're live in Chicago, or if we're live in New York, we're live in Dallas, we're live in Los Angeles. But if you get to Birmingham, yeah, welcome to Raw. Don't look in the upper left of your screen, or you think we're small time. It's so petty, you know. But when you do the segment they did with AJ about, you know, wrestling in podunk towns and all that, I mean, they have their biases, they have their things they're stuck on, and they believe in them. And yeah, I think you're right, Jason. It's just unlikely to change. All right, 616 is up now, and then after that, 718. 616, please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Eric from Grand Rapids. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, Eric. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
I have two things about I haven't heard anybody talk about Steve Austin being at WrestleMania, and then my second question is Ronda Rousey. Do you think either one of them will be at WrestleMania in some sort of role? I don't know what, but that's all I got. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. I assume that Steve Austin will be part of WrestleMania, but Well, I don't know. Maybe that's overstating it. It's hard to imagine WrestleMania Texas and Austin not being there, but I think he would want to be, if he's going to be there at a big event like that, he's going to want a significant role and a significant payday and not be positioned in a way where it seems like he's in any way being treated as less of a star in the context of WrestleMania than The Rock. Ronda Rousey, you know, she did Saturday Night Live. We know her fight schedule. It wouldn't conflict with it. I think that there's an opening there now that she's done SNL that she could show up and do WrestleMania, and I don't think we should completely rule that out, Jason.
Yeah, it just, I think it really depends on her filming schedule too. She's also doing some Hollywood work these days, and so I haven't kept close tabs on that to know when and what she's filming. I know something with a Roadhouse movie, but for all I know, that thing's done already. But Austin, I think he was on Jim Ross's podcast and just made it seem like, yeah, 99% sure he's going to be there. I remember like there were headlines popping up online about it that day, and it's like, yeah. Well, yeah, it's Steve Austin in Texas. He's going to be there. I think the headline is if you find out he's not going to be there.
Yeah, I agree. And then it just comes down to, do they have a significant role for him, or do they treat him as, just a guy dropping by to say hi, or does he actually end up in an angle, a prominent, position? An angle, you know, do they hire him to give an endorsement to Roman Reigns, you know, on air?
That's my fear.
Yeah, something along those lines, where, you know, he's in Roman's corner and Vince.
Yeah, I mean, he battled the McMahons years ago, and now Roman's doing that. I really fear that's for his sake. I fear that's happening.
Yeah, and I wouldn't rule it out. Okay, let's go to 773 next. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Boris in Chicago.
Hey, Boris, what do you got for us today?
Wade Keller. I don't want to say this. I really enjoyed Saturday's show. It just gave me that nostalgia feel, as you see. I even stumped Jim Valley with the Bob Luce, show that they air in Chicago.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll retouch on that this Saturday coming up. But I just wanted to let you know I really appreciate the shows that you provide and the things you do, and there's never enough time in the day to get everything in. But I just want to thank you for, because I really enjoyed that show particularly, because, you know, then I get to talk about the stuff from the past in a great way.
Cool. I appreciate the endorsement. Do you have a question or topic otherwise, or you just wanted to call to say that?
Yeah, I just got something to say about the AJ thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think last week I was mentioning that will they do this to him, you know, call him a redneck and all this stuff, and it's like they're heading that direction. But I'm hoping it's not, because when I looked at it, I saw the Daniel Bryan thing too, but in a way, in a backlash, you know, if they playing with fire, because either the fans going to think, like you said, that they're going to treat him like AJ, or they're going to get up, you know, they're going to rebel on what WWE's doing and start chanting AJ through all the shows. So do you think they're going to start chanting AJ if they start treating him in the motion of like Daniel Bryan?
Sure. Yeah, but your connection was a little choppy, Boris. I'll put you on hold here. Jason, the attempt, I think it's ill-advised. I think it's not the right way to use AJ. But if they try to turn him into the next Daniel Bryan and they do it overtly as opposed to just letting it happen, I think it can still work. And I hope that fans chant for AJ. But people have to understand, WWE needs to understand, the reason the people got behind Daniel Bryan is the fighting spirit he showed and the personality that he showed in those in with Kane in the tag matches against the Shield, and the way that he got a hot tag and just performed at a level that people didn't see, and he was really, really likable, and WWE actually let him talk. At some point, WWE needs to let AJ be AJ, for better or for worse. I mean, you can't constantly protect him by having his interviews interrupted or having a mic pulled away from him. At some point, you got to let AJ do what he's been doing for 15 plus years, which is talk on the microphone. He can cut a promo, and he can cut a sports-like promo. And it, you know, the line that bugged me the most is Miz saying, you know, the E is as important as the W. And I just don't think that's something you should ever put on a TV show, where the narrative is people are fighting for championships. You want the entertainment to be the wrestling, not something that you get judged on separate from your wrestling. I don't use the word hate a lot, because I think it's an overused adjective and it loses its meaning. I hate when the word entertainment is used as something wholly separate from wrestling. The wrestling is the entertainment. The wrestlers fighting over titles and talking about wrestling matches, that's the entertainment. That's the money-drawing entertainment. What Social Outcasts are doing, what New Day do, that's garnish. That's frosting. That's dressing. Whatever you want to call it, that's gravy. But the heart of what draws money and the heart of what draws money that entertains people is the sports-like vibe that you get from really talented athletes putting on simulated combat fights and doing so in a context where it seems like what they're doing is important and there's consequences to their actions. So I really despise when that line is used, and I wish they would stay away from it. But Jason, can AJ, even with all the kind of negatives and the things that are different about AJ than Daniel Bryan, can he, as Boris Say just said, can he get over the way that Daniel Bryan did based on what we saw last night on Raw and the direction they're going with it?
Yes, but it's going to feel more manufactured and it's unnecessary. With Daniel Bryan, it really did feel like, at some point, obviously, it became manufactured, but it was organic to begin with. And with AJ Styles, I think if that same fan base picks up on it, they may still cheer AJ because they like AJ, but it's just the storyline is going to suffer. And I think we'll be getting a lot of phone calls from people talking about how it's just an obvious ripoff of the Daniel Bryan thing. If that's the direction they go in, Wade, what does that tell you about Daniel Bryan's future?
I know. Well, not good.
Right.
But, yeah, but I mean, I don't know that. Yeah. I mean, I guess.
We can come up with some scenario where, he gets mad and comes back as a heel. But right. I mean, I don't think that's what it means.
No, I don't either. I mean, and I'm at this stage, February 2nd, 2016, not feeling particularly optimistic about Daniel Bryan wrestling in WWE again.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's sad. Yeah. I mean, what I hope we hear is AJ just stand up for himself. Get his character get to stand up for himself and say, "I'm AJ Styles, damn it."
Well, but the thing,
and be his own man. But I don't. Yeah, I think it's WWE. Once they find that formula, even if they stumbled into that one, they're just going to keep trying to redo that formula all over again until and probably each time get it less right than the first time.
And I don't want them to beat the confidence out of AJ either. I mean, if they're going to start making AJ feel like he can't talk and he's obviously smaller than anybody else, and yes, you got a pop at the Rumble, but since then you're not getting pops and it's your fault, not ours. I mean, you can really beat the confidence out of AJ and all he'll have left is cashing paychecks and thinking about whether this was the right decision or not, and looking at his bank account for reassurances that it was. I just don't want it to get to that. But I don't want to jump the gun either. I mean, he could end up still doing well. And tonight is a start of it. We'll see how he responds at the SmackDown tapings to what Miz had to say. All right, up next, area code 954. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Noel from Pompano Beach, Florida.
What's your first name, Joe?
Noel, N-O-E-L.
N-O-E-L, Noel, cool. Okay, go ahead. What have you got for us?
Hey, how are you doing, guys? I've been a long-time subscriber to PW Torch. This is my first time calling.
Cool. Well, thank you for calling. What made you call today?
Well, I normally don't get to listen live, but since today was Bring Your Children to Work Day, me and my son are in the car going home, I just had the opportunity.
Excellent. Thanks for calling.
First off, I have to say, this is the show that keeps me paying my membership money. As great as the rest of the site is and the other shows are, this is the one.
Well, it must be Jason, then.
Well, clearly. Jason does have a certain way about his words that's just sort of sexy. But
I've heard that before. Jason, you've heard that before about yourself.
I've said it about myself. I don't know that word.
All right. Go ahead, Noel. If you want to embarrass Jason
power,
some more, feel free.
Jason, you've just got a certain power to you that, Bruce needs to learn from it.
Take that, Bruce.
I'll pass that along.
I've got a comment about Raw and a question for you guys today.
Sure. Yeah.
First, the comment is, I have to say, I love the promo between Ambrose and Lesnar. To me, that was near a perfect babyface promo for both of them. Plainly stated, I want the title. I will take your beating to get that title. You're not going to stop me. And maybe not overt, but a show of respect from Lesnar, you know, who's, I guess, a babyface now, with listening to it and not beating anybody down for once. I loved it.
Cool. Yeah, so what's your question, and then we'll comment on both.
The question, well, it's been a while since anybody asked when Cena's turning heel, but I'll leave that for someone else. Jericho is back, and for once, they haven't turned him heel immediately, and they haven't completely buried him yet. Is there any money to be made in a babyface Jericho with the title at this point, since that's the one way we've never seen Jericho?
I like
and
that.
And that's it.
I like that topic. No, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to
no
us.
No problem.
All right, cool. Appreciate the kind
have
words.
Have a great day, guys.
Yep, you bet. Jason, yeah, so Ambrose, Lesnar, your thoughts on that, and then also how they're using Jericho at this point, and is there a babyface run with the championship in him?
Well, the first part of the question, I enjoyed it as well. I thought Ambrose looked really good, just getting in there and showing no intimidation until, you know, he gave, but he was respectful to Brock Lesnar, and it just plays to Brock's strengths, where Brock can just flash that grin. Like, I'd be basically just telling him, and without saying anything, you got some balls, you know, just being in here and doing this.
Yeah.
I thought that worked really well. The Jericho thing, it would have to be like a last hurrah. I don't think the only way I can envision this is Jericho wants to win the title one more time before he retires from pro wrestling or something like that, because I don't think that babyface Chris Jericho right now winning the title would be a good thing. Now, it may be better than Triple H holding the title or even Reigns coming out of WrestleMania with the title if that's the direction they go in. I think he just has other aspirations. It would have to be a really short-term thing. I think there's a feel-good story to tell there with him, but I'd rather see Jericho as a heel myself.
I would, too. I thought last night's promo was intriguing, with Jericho saying he's going to pay particular attention to this week's SmackDown match with AJ and Miz. Where do you think they're going with that?
I think we're going to get that match again, Styles and Jericho. They could turn it into a triple threat, and I hope they don't. I think Miz did his part last night, like it or dislike it, and then tonight at the SmackDown taping, and I think you can get a little TV program out of Styles and Miz for sure, but I think your pay-per-view match and your money feud, it is a kind of a starter for Styles, could be Jericho, and so that's probably a match they're going to set up for the for Fastlane, and I'm guessing, I don't know if it's just Jericho shows a heelish edge or if he goes all-out heel here, but I do think he's going to be the heel whenever he's in there with AJ Styles.
Yes, I think so, too. I can't imagine any kind of hint at AJ being a heel at this stage. That would just be insane to do that. We don't want AJ to... I mean, AJ was abused enough booking-wise in TNA with all the turns over the years. We don't want him to become Big Show where nobody knows or cares. A lot of people pointing out too, Jason, Big Show coming out to help on SmackDown last week, but not getting help in return on Raw this week. I thought that made Ambrose and Reigns, and really the whole babyface roster, the Usos, everybody look bad for not coming to Big Show's aid. I guess you could say he's made enough enemies.
Well, do you blame them?
Well, that's the thing. You know, he has made enough enemies, but
they don't know if he's babyface or heel this week.
I guess with what happened on SmackDown last week, you could say the odds were pretty good he was a babyface this week. But, yeah, it's a bad example to use to make the point that babyfaces should always look out for each other. But I do think it made it look bad, but it seems like, yeah, it should be kind of comical. I'm not suggesting it. I'm just saying it would be comical if Big Show on SmackDown on Thursday just came out and it started attacking babyfaces for not being there for him on Raw.
Why can't Big Show and Kane just settle into house show exclusive roles for at least 6 months where you just get them off of television? Because it's just comical how many times both of these guys have turned, especially Big Show. I mean, they got that one reaction the first time they had Strowman and Show have a stare down. They go back to it last night, and the crowd just sits there. I mean, I think that's going to be a Fastlane match, too, and I'm just dreading it.
The PW Torch Livecast is brought to you by Audible, a leading provider of spoken audio, information, and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book. That's right, a free audiobook using your Amazon sign-in credentials, by the way, when you sign up for a free trial at audibletrial.com/ProWrestlingTorch. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ProWrestlingTorch. That's the URL to go to get claim your free audiobook. It is an Amazon company, so your Amazon sign-in works. And you can have a list of audiobooks, nonfiction, fiction, bestsellers, classics, sports, non-sports, self-help, whatever you want, whatever you're into. You can, if you heard about a book on the radio and you aren't going to have time to read it, but you want to listen to it along with podcasts on your podcast app, Audible is a great way to do it. I love their app. I am a customer, and I endorse the product, and you can check out their cool app, their cool shopping site at audibletrial.com/ProWrestlingTorch and get a free book while you're at it. All right, we'll take one or two more calls before wrapping up today's program. We'll start with 512. 512, thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Villain Gohill. I'm a VIP member of the Torch. I'm calling from Arlington, Texas. I just moved here about 2 weeks ago. And I wanted to just point out that I just moved here, and I realized there's no public transportation here. So people coming in town for WrestleMania have to use a cab or Uber or something to get around town. It's just is really bizarre.
Where'd you live before?
Oh, in Austin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they've got more public transit in Arlington for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's just really just I can't believe there's nothing around to get people from Dallas to the stadium. It's just really ridiculous.
They never had Jesse Ventura as governor.
Mr. Yeah. Lightrail. Yep.
Yeah,
cool, so, Alan. What else have you got for us?
Yeah. I've been a fan of WWE or WWF for about 30 years, and lately it's been a chore to watch the programming. It's just so dull. It's hard to pay attention to what's going on. I'm hoping they can turn stuff around before Mania.
What's the number one thing, Alan, you would wish that they do between now and Mania to turn things around? Can be anything.
Crud. Let's see. Get rid of the authority. That'd be probably the number one thing.
That's
throw the whole storyline out the window.
Yeah, I'd vote for that. If not before Mania, we might be a little too entrenched. Maybe have have that storyline get written off at Mania, and go somewhere fresh afterwards. But I hear what you're saying. Anything else? Any specific question for us, Alan?
No, that's about all. I just want to let people know there's no public transportation in Arlington. It just caught me off guard.
Yeah. Well, Alan, thanks for your VIP membership. Really appreciate it. Good to hear from a new voice on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good one.
Absolutely. Let's go now to 915. 915, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys. This is Chris from Lexington Park, Maryland.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for calling. What do you got for Jason and me?
This might be a little bit, it's just a quick question. Do you guys think it's too early to start freaking out about Kevin Owens' future at this point? Because while I thought that this past Monday's match with Ziggler was good,
it's really good, yeah.
I'm kind of tired of it, and I don't want to see, I'm expecting to have a Fastlane match out of it. I'd much rather see something else. I'm kind of getting frustrated that they don't seem to recognize that this guy is your top heel of the company, and I feel like the product would be much better if they finally recognize that and they finally push him to his full potential. So I don't know what you think about that.
No, it's a great topic because Jason, you know, we've been talking about who can Lesnar face. Or, you know, what options are there at WrestleMania? There's not enough top guys. And it just feels like Kevin Owens is a big lost opportunity. You know, you look at Miz and kind of saying what Vince McMahon feels everyone is thinking about AJ Styles, even though nobody else but him is, or very few people, not significant number. And with Kevin Owens, I feel like he's kind of being slotted at a certain spot that underutilizes his potential. And you know, I'm not greatly bothered by losing to Dolph. Maybe I should be. But I it's like it was 2 years ago. Everybody was rooting, or, you know, 2-3 years ago, everyone was rooting for Dolph to get wins and stop burying him. If you're going to, you know, have these guys have competitive matches, it can work. A heel losing can actually help them. If they react in a way that helps propel their heel character forward. So we'll see what they do as a follow-up to Owens losing. Kind of same thing with Charlotte losing to Brie. But Kevin Owens has a higher upside than the way he's being slotted right now. Putting aside what happened last night, Jason, just in general, Kevin should be a guy who should be in the conversation as a heel opponent for Brock Lesnar or a heel opponent for Undertaker. And I'm not really holding out hope for that anymore for Mania this year.
No, that's the thing. I think we'd be seeing signs of it, and that's where they should be going. It shouldn't be Braun Strowman, for the love of God. It should be, if Undertaker needs a WrestleMania match, it's easy to do with Kevin Owens. I know Vince and his big man fetish. You know, I think that's what, and maybe some of it is Taker. Maybe that's what he wants as well, but Owens is the right guy to go out there and just disrespect Taker and get under his skin in the limited time they would have to put that together. And instead, he's losing to Dolph. And, you know, it's one match. He's beaten Dolph more times than he's lost to him. I'm sure he's going to avenge this quickly, but I just don't really get what purpose it served other than, this way we can have another match with Ziggler and Kevin Owens. And they're good matches, but I feel like they've run it into the ground. I'm just kind of watching it, trying to, like, focus on it. My mind is kind of drifting because I feel like I've seen it all before. Dolph's going to sell for some ridiculous amount of time, and then he's going to come back, and either he's going to hit his finisher and win, or Owens is going to hit the pop-up power bomb out of nowhere and win. They work well together, but it's just move on. Let's get something fresh here for Owens.
Yep, I'd like to see it. Yeah, losing to Dolph Ziggler kind of says don't get your hopes up for a real significant spot at WrestleMania. But there's still a long time to go, so maybe we can hold out hope. 270, you're up next. 270, thanks for calling. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Oh, hi, this is Brooke from Kentucky.
Hey, Brooke, good to hear from you. What have you got for Jason and me?
I was just wondering what you all think of maybe with the tag team division being so boring right now and not really relevant besides maybe the New Day. What about maybe bringing up a tag team from NXT, like Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, or maybe Enzo and Cass, because they're so popular in NXT right now. Just thought maybe to liven up the tag team division in WWE right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jason, they have some names to choose from in NXT. I think introducing a new team right now in WrestleMania season can be a bad time because maybe Vince isn't thinking a lot about you know, promoting tag teams. One of the thoughts I had last night after the Usos match is, okay, they dance before their match, they dance after their match, they have cool moves during the match, and they're friends with Rock, and that's all I know about them after years of being on WWE television. Let them show some emotions. Let them cut promos. Let them talk about the tag team championships. Let them react to New Day. Let them talk so that, because that's, you know, one of the consistencies with Brooke is the teams she's mentioning are teams we know something about, because if you watch NXT, you learn about the wrestlers, you get to know their personalities, and that's something that I just don't understand or agree with out of the main roster Vince McMahon promotion of the main roster is tag teams. He just thinks, well, they're a tag team, so we don't really give them, you know, mic time. And I mean, New Day are more of a faction than a tag team, and in that sense that makes them an exception to the rule. But yeah, especially the Usos, I want to see them do more. But Jason, would you call up somebody specifically from NXT to liven things up, or would you think it's better for them to maybe wait till after WrestleMania when there's a little bit more breathing space?
I would wait until after, and I think here's the problem you're going to run into no matter who it is, and there's some good teams down there. New Day aren't heels. They once in a while will take a jab at whatever town they're in, the sports team or something like that. They're not actively looking for heat. And for a little bit there, they were doing a better balancing act than they are now. I last night, they're in there with main event baby faces. And I'm like, okay, they're going to go out there and do their pre-match shtick, and surely they're going to do something heelish because we're working with top guys. They didn't even then. I mean, it was just all comedy. If you were annoyed by them, then that's where the heat comes from, I guess. But there, you can hear it in more towns than not. People are entertained by it. And so it makes it really difficult. It's hard enough for Reigns and Ambrose to go out there and work with those guys. I wrote on Twitter last night, nobody pays money to see the fun comedy guys get beat up. And that's what they want you to do right now. And so imagine when it's, you know, Ambrose and Reigns who actually get some character development, they have a hard time. Well, the Usos get none. The Dudleys are just a nostalgia act. And so if you bring another team up, yeah, we're going to know them from NXT and their history, but a casual WWE viewer who may not be watching NXT, who's to say WWE on the main roster is going to tell the story of those characters, is going to let them establish
right.
themselves. You either know them from NXT or they're just generic guys because that's what they do with the tag teams. And it's so frustrating because they have 3 hours of television to work with on Mondays. There's no reason they can't tell these stories.
I agree. I mean, we thought with three-hour Raws they'd have more time to build the undercard personalities. And I'm not saying there aren't exceptions, but it's been a disappointment, you know, that they haven't done that. And then they look at the minute-by-minutes and they go, oh, well, we can't afford to spend time on this act because, well, you know, the viewership goes down, but it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If people don't know anything about the characters, the wrestlers on television, if they don't know about them and they're not treated as important, of course you're going to lose some viewers when that happens. The goal isn't give up on them. That's an indictment on you, not the performers. If you're the promoter, if you're the presenter of the product, you've got to figure out a way to get them over. Jason, you mentioned Twitter. How can people follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet, at ProWrestlingNet.
Very good. You can follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller, TheWadeKeller. K-E-L-L-E-R, The Wade Keller, and also follow our brand at PW Torch. Don't forget to check out our website, Speaking of Minute by Minutes. We have a Minute by Minute report on last week's Raw, a fascinating show with AJ Styles' in-ring debut, The Rock with his long segment. Find out on a minute-by-minute basis where viewers tuned in and tuned out on last week's show in one of the key adult demographics. It's a fascinating story up at pwtorch.com. When you get to the homepage, just click on the Pro Wrestling News. If you want to narrow it down even more, when the drop menu drops down, just choose WWE News and scroll down to last week's story on the Minute by Minutes on Raw. There's a lot of cool exclusive stuff. If you're not visiting pwtorch.com on a daily basis, you're missing out on a lot. A lot of what we talk about on this show is done with an understanding or an assumption, I guess, that you're following the news on pwtorch.com and also Jason's website, prowrestling.net. And there's a lot of perspective you get from actually reading the stories on your phone or your computer throughout the week. So I certainly recommend you check out pwtorch.com. If you're an MMA fan, a USC fan, check out our sister brand, our sister site, mmatorch.com. Full-time coverage from Jamie Pennick, a whole crew of contributors. It's a great way to follow the sport of MMA and get live coverage during events of UFC. I think we have unmatched coverage of live events, great editorials, roundtable features, all kinds of great stuff we're checking out if you're a UFC fan. It is for both novices and hardcore expert fans of MMA, and there is a free app, a new redesigned app for both MMA Torch and PW Torch in the Apple App Store. I encourage you search PW Torch and then MMA Torch to download the free, slick new apps that just launched last month. Android, this month, we believe the Android apps will be ready too, the remakes, but you can download our five-year-old old clunky apps. Actually, they're fine, but they're not new and shiny like the iOS ones yet. So check it out. The new Android or the Android apps are also free. And if you download them now, you can certainly read all the content on them. And they still work. I'm just giving them a hard time. But the new ones are going to be slick. And those should be out. You'll get an upgrade notice if you download the old ones right now. So if you're an Android phone user like I am, go to the Android Google Play Store and search PW Torch and MMA Torch and download them. They're free. It's a good way to keep up on stuff. But we also have on your mobile browser, whether you use Chrome, the default Android browser, or on iPhone Safari, we have a great mobile site that's really smooth and slick also with all our content. And then our newly redesigned desktop site, pwtorch.com and mmatorch.com. If you're not a VIP member, get full details over at pwtorch.com/govip. There's no greater endorsement than when people call up this show and unsolicited talk about how they're VIP members and how they have been for a long time. You get newsletters, 28 years worth of back issues. You can sync up what you're watching on WWE Network or on an old DVD or something online with what I wrote about it. Star ratings, match reports, roundtable reviews from the Torch staff on every major event since 1988 when you go VIP. Plus, I don't know, probably tens of thousands of hours of audio right now. It's crazy. We have retro radio shows from the early 90s and also Jim Valley's Total Chaos, which we'll be starting to put up on a very regular basis, both the Pro Wrestling Spotlight shows from the early 90s and Total Chaos from the Attitude Era. That is, now that we've got the website redesigns done, we're going to be trying to put up a new radio show once a week going forward. But so much fresh content. Tomorrow we'll be doing The Fix with Todd Martin. I co-host that show for VIP members. On weekends, I co-host the Bruce Mitchell audio show for VIP members. There's the VIP after show that Jason Powell and I will be recording in just a few moments here. Ad-free access to our mobile-friendly new PWTorchVIP.com website. No ads, No ads on this show. This plug, by the way, is taken out when we put the show up on the VIP audio feed. All ads and plugs that you sat through on this show, if you're a Livecast free listener, go away when you sign up for a VIP membership, and that alone might be worth the membership fee. So much more I could talk about, but I'll cut it off there. Get full bullet point checklist of all the features of VIP membership at pwtorch.com/govip. You can sign up on your mobile device. It takes about a minute or maybe 90 seconds, depending on your typing skills, to type in your name and your email address. But it's quick and it's mobile-friendly. Check it out, pwtorch.com/govip. That'll do it for us for today. We'll now shift to the VIP after show, which is not available live, but we will be adding it to the VIP audio feed after we finish recording it in a few minutes here. So we thank our live listeners. It's great getting a lot of new calls. As the listenership of this grows, so does our caller base, and it's been great hearing from some new voices today. I know that's been the case for a while now. We're hearing from new callers every week. Jim Valley had a lot of good calls on Saturday on his new Saturday morning show, so if you haven't checked that out, one more plug for that. Really good reviews for that. A different format with a, as he puts it, a adult perspective on nostalgia, on what is wrestling nostalgia to today's adults, looking back at the 80s, 90s, and 2000s through the eyes of an adult and reviewing some of that stuff, and with a focus on oftentimes on current events. You know, if AJ's in the news, talk about AJ. If Bret Hart's in the news, like he is this week, talk about remember some things about Bret Hart, a caller-driven show. Jim Valley, a radio vet, doing a great job Saturday mornings. Check that out. But we're here 6 days a week now, and also Sundays after pay-per-views. So check us out, our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, thank you as always.
My pleasure.
Excellent. We'll talk to you, Jason, on the other side of the music for VIP members. And until tomorrow, when Pat McNeil with guest Trevor Murdoch takes over the PW Torch Livecast hosting chair, this is Wade Keller signing off for today.